This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
The press buries Hillary Clinton's sins. This is not Tony Perkins. This is Jerry Johnson, President of National Religious Broadcasters. I'm sitting in for Tony. This is Washington Watch, and we're going to talk about that question. When Hillary deleted 33,000 emails, what was she hiding? And is the press hiding that from us? Also, we're going to talk about this question in the Washington Post today. Is she a threat to religious liberty? That'll be at the half hour, but first, the press buries Hillary Clinton's sin. Today, a major editorial in the Wall Street Journal. Listen carefully to this sentence. If average voters turned onto the TV for 5 minutes this week, chances are they know that Donald Trump made lewd remarks a decade ago and now stands accused of groping women. But even if average voters had the TV on 24/7, they still probably haven't heard the news about Hillary Clinton, that the nation now has proof of pretty much everything she's been accused of, end quote. Who wrote that? It was Kimberly Strassel. She's a columnist and a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. She's author of the book, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech. She spoke to NRB a few weeks ago. And Kimberly is with us today. Kimberly, thank you for joining us.
It is such a pleasure to be here, Dr. John.
All right, Kimberly. What do you mean by that last sentence? What has she been accused of? And what is the proof revealed by WikiLeaks?
Well, what we're talking about here is, of course, these WikiLeaks emails, most of which have come from the computer of John Podesta, who was a longtime Clinton ally and most recently is the chairman of her campaign. And what those emails have essentially shown is that all these things that have swirled around for the past 18 months are true. For instance, don't forget, Mrs. Clinton came out and said, oh, she was so happy to turn her emails over to the State Department so that everyone could see the good work she did there. In fact, now we have, you know, proof that her staff was having discussions about how they could evade congressional subpoenas of her server and her emails. Could they get away with not handing them over? Could they get away with blaming it on the State Department? We have proof, more proof, that the State Department was working with her family foundation to give special access to and special privileges to top donors to the foundation. We have proof that her campaign has been incredibly demeaning and thinks poorly of religious Americans, people who live in the South. It's just a really revealing look into her campaign and the way she operates.
Mm. Folks, we're talking with Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal. We want you to call in 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. We'll take your calls in a few minutes. But Kimberly, I want to ask you, you know, some people are talking about Nixon and Watergate. They're comparing the corruption of Hillary Clinton to that of Richard Nixon. Do you think that's fair? Is it unfair? What's your take on that?
I do think it's an appropriate analogy. Look, but for different reasons. Nixon did what he did keep his hold on political power. I think when you look at what the Clintons are accused of and what time and again they're often shown to be is people who are engaged in politics with the idea of political and personal enrichment, you know, in that they're helping out their buddies or the Clinton can or they're cashing in on the power that they have. And this is what is very disturbing. Look, in my mind, the reason Hillary Clinton used a private email server and then deleted the emails that were on there, and we have a glimpse that this is true, is because no doubt a huge amount of that private email was dedicated to doing the work of her Clinton Family Foundation, which we know intersected with her State Department work. And she didn't want anyone to see that part of the Clinton operation.
Mm. Well, talking about those deleted emails, a senior FBI official involved in that investigation told Fox this week that the vast majority of career agents and prosecutors working on the case, quote, felt she should be prosecuted and that giving her a pass was a top-down decision. What do you make of that?
Yeah, and that's not a surprise to me at all. Look, the career investigators at the FBI, the career prosecutors at the Department of Justice, I don't think anyone should doubt their integrity. Undoubtedly, they worked for more than a year doggedly to try to unravel this question about her server and whether or not she mishandled classified information. And given the fact that they had access to all of her email records, there were probably many other things that raised their eyebrows as well about maybe potentially even public corruption, given the foundation business. But we now have this unnamed source telling Fox News that indeed all of that work was apparently set aside, and this was a decision made at the top. The unnamed source actually walked through some of the things that bothered the agents and the prosecutors as well in that story, noting that immunity had been given when there was no need to give immunity. Evidence was ignored. Evidence was destroyed. No grand jury was impaneled, which is how you normally go about an operation like this. So in general, we already had proof that this investigation was highly unorthodox and run in a manner that never is usually taken. In fact, we've never seen before. So I have no doubt that those career agents and career prosecutors are furious about how this came down, because the only way to look at it is a political decision, not one made on the law.
Folks, this is Washington Watch. I'm Jerry Johnson. We're listening now to Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece today, The Press Buries Hillary Clinton's Sins. Kimberly, I'm thinking of the magician and sleight of hand. You know, you say the press is burying these sins. It seems to me there's some sleight of hand. I've watched television the last couple of days, and a lot of these networks are, instead of mentioning this or covering this or reporting this, they're just saying, no, look at this. And of course, they're looking at Trump for the whole 30-minute program or the hour program. And do you think there's an effort to focus on him to ignore this? Or do you think there could have even been some collusion in timing? What's your impression of that?
Oh, well, first of all, absolutely that the press seems to be all in to help Hillary Clinton. And not every organization. Obviously, there are organizations that are running stories about the WikiLeaks, but the vast majority of, you know, the big newspapers and cable network stations are focusing entirely on Trump, almost none on this WikiLeaks thing, which, you know, I think many of us find far more explosive. And this is an important look. You're in broadcasting. I'm in journalism, print journalism. You know, we all understand that while people always talk about whether or not individual stories are written fairly or they have bias in them, that neglects the fact that some of the biggest bias is what a network or a newspaper chooses to write about in the first place. They have an enormous ability to, drive a story and neglect other things. And that is what's happening here. In terms of these allegations against Mr. Trump, I mean, obviously I have no more information than any other about the veracity of the claims that are being made by these women. However, I would ask one question that I think is very relevant, which is, if these acts happened and they were so disturbing to these women, and why all of a sudden are we only hearing about them in October, right before an election? You know, presumably, they would have thought that if stopping Trump was such a priority, they would have spoken out sooner. And just as someone who's covered politics for a long time, when things come all at once in October, it makes your political antennae go up.
Folks, what do you think about that? The lines are going to be open at 866-372-7234. We'll take callers in the next segment, 866-372-7234. Do you think the press is covering up for Hillary Clinton's sins. Is Hillary Clinton getting a pass on all of this, on these WikiLeaks revelations? My guest is Kimberly Strassel. Kimberly, in this book you've written, The Intimidation Game, you paint a pretty bleak picture about how the Obama administration has used the IRS and other parts of the federal government to squelch free speech. NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, one of our mission points is to defend free speech. Briefly summarize your conclusions for us.
Yeah, this has been a very disturbing chain of events that traces back to about 2010 when the Supreme Court gave Americans more free speech when they issued their Citizens United ruling. The left was very unhappy about that, and they deliberately decided to come up with a new strategy. Their view was, if we can't use the law to silence our opponents, we will instead harass them, intimidate them, and scare them out of free speech. And so we see them, for instance, mobilizing the federal bureaucracy against their opponents with the IRS scandal. We see liberal prosecutors going after their political opponents with criminal investigations, like what we saw up in Wisconsin and what was known as the John Doe probe. We see activist groups going after corporations, trying to shut them down and shut down their donors. We even see attacks on individuals who have been penalized by activists, had their cars keyed and their windows broken for the crime of supporting things like traditional marriage. So it's a very disturbing train of event. I tried to walk through all of those episodes in the book to let people know what really happened in them, because if you listen to a lot of the press, they still will make the claim that these are legitimate investigations or legitimate inquiries, and they're simply not. They're about intimidating.
Well, folks, that book I highly recommend, The Intimidation Game by Kimberly Strassel, columnist, member of the editorial board at The Wall Street Journal. Kimberly, thank you for joining us today, and we hope to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Have a good rest of the show.
All right. All right, folks, we want to hear from you. The number is 866-372-7234. That's 866-3724. Do you think the press is burying Hillary Clinton's sins? We've heard a lot about Donald Trump. He's had a bad week. Some of that he's brought upon himself, no doubt about that. But what about Hillary? Are we getting a fair and balanced presentation of these candidates and their flaws? 866-372-7234. Also, later in the program, Hillary Clinton is a threat to religious liberty. This is a major piece today in the Washington Post. Is Hillary a threat to religious liberty? We've got a special guest coming on later in the program, and you don't want to miss that. 866-372-7234. Call. We want your voice, your opinion, your question on really, the press. Are they being fair? Are they covering Hillary to the same extent they're covering Donald? This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed lately that healthcare premiums and college tuition are on the rise? Some say the government should provide them to citizens at no cost. The idea of offering such services for free through government programs is understandably attractive to many. However, the utopian socialist principles behind such ideas are inherently flawed, and in reality, their ends can only be achieved through unfettered government overreach. Down through the ages, socialism has only wrought destruction, and those who propose that an American execution of the same policies would somehow reap a different result do so at their and our peril. With American interest in socialism on the rise, it is vital that we understand its foundational philosophies so that we can combat this fatally flawed government solution to a human problem. watch former Congressman Bob McEwen lead an informative discussion about socialism and its true consequences at frc.org/McEwen. That's frc.org/MCEWEN.
A special announcement from Kirk Cameron.
As I travel to churches across the country, I hear it all the time. Moms are concerned about their children's futures. Dads know the nation is on the wrong track, and they wonder, is it too late for America? There has never been a more exciting time to be a Christian in America. On October 18th, we're having a national family meeting. It's called Revive Us, and it's going to be happening live in hundreds of theaters all across America. We'll worship together, led by Passion and the Vertical Church Band and my daughter Isabella. We'll pray together with Miss Clara from the hit movie War Room. And we'll hear from Pastor Francis Chan, Dr. Ben Carson, James McDonald, Eric Metaxas, Jennifer Rothschild, and even have a live question and answer time answering your questions from the theater.
Revive Us, in theaters Tuesday. Get more information at reviveus2016.com.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel. While excavating a pagan temple in Tel Lachish, Israeli archaeologists unearthed a stone toilet. It's believed the toilet was purposely put there during the reign of King Hezekiah to allow Israelites to defile the pagan temple. Hezekiah is known for eliminating pagan worship throughout the kingdom of Judah, and 2 Kings 10:27 says he tore down the temple of Baal, and people have used it for a latrine to this day. The ruined pagan temple at Tel Lachish and the stone toilet are dated to the rule of King Hezekiah. Leave it to our infinitely wise God to use something as mundane as the discovery of a toilet to speak to the historical accuracy of His holy word. To listen to our weekly program or to receive a free trial subscription of our magazine, Israel My Glory, visit our website, foiradio.org.
A force lurking within.
Of the United States of America.
A shadow that threatens our freedom.
And to the republic for which it stands.
It can be summed up in one word.
One nation, under God, indivisible.
And that word is.
With liberty and justice for all.
Apathy. Make plans now to vote. As Christians, it's our responsibility. Brought to you by NRB. Vote Tuesday, November 8th.
All right, folks, what a reminder. That's from National Religious Broadcasters, NRB. This is Jerry Johnson filling in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, and NRB is running these ads. We're calling this Christians Vote, reminding everyone that Christians have a responsibility, not just a right, but an obligation to be salt and to be light and to vote. And if you want to look at those ads, you can go to ChristiansVote.com, ChristiansVote.com, and check out those ads. You can use those ads, those PSAs, any way that you want. We want to remind everyone to get out and vote on November 8th. Well, our previous segment, we talked about this, the press bearing Hillary Clinton's sins. There have been a lot of revelations in the WikiLeaks exposure of emails, and the press really doesn't seem to be covering them or caring about this very much. There's a lot to think about. We've got callers on the line. We want to know what you think. We've got Frank on the line from Kentucky. Frank, thank you for calling. What's your question? What's your comment?
Well, my comment, as far as Hillary is concerned, Hillary is a murderer. I can't vote for someone that loves to kill babies. Without life, there's what's the use of voting in the first place? I mean, if you vote, when there's no life there, what's the point of voting?
Mm. Well, thank you, Frank. I think you're onto something there. You know, at that last debate, it was very clear, Hillary said, that her vision for the Supreme Court, she never used the word Constitution, the kind of judges she would appoint, and she said very clearly she wanted judges that would uphold Roe versus Wade. That's a reference to the 1973 Supreme Court decision. Combined with Doe versus Bolton, another decision on the same day, it legalized abortion up to 9 months for any reason in America. We're seeing 3,000 to 4,000 abortions today a day in America, up to 800,000 to 1.2 million a year. We've had 50 to 60 million. And she says she wants to continue this. And so I think that's horrific. And I think that's a legitimate concern that you have there, Frank. In spite of all of these WikiLeaks revelations, that's something she said at the debate. And I find it atrocious. Well, let's go to Liz now from Virginia. Liz, thank you for calling. What's your view?
Yes. Thank you so much for having this platform. I have several things to say, and then I'll get off the line and hear which everybody thinks about it. But we need to get the platform that you have out in a bigger, broader audience, because you're kind of singing to the choir. All the people that are listening are the ones of, high intelligence and worried about our country, and the ones that don't hear what's really going on, because I've learned so much on this station. It needs to get out into the public, whether whether it's a secular radio station or whether it's a TV station. Somebody needs to, whether it's in front of the White House, like Franklin Graham just did in Richmond, Virginia, with us.
I agree.
And let these people know what's going on, because this is psychological warfare. It's what they're using. All the truth came out about Hillary, so then they do this. All these CNN and, the commentator that's gay, he's, on Trump's case for something that happened 10 years ago. Trump has saved since then. He accepted Christ. This is all 10 years ago. But when you get close to her getting, whenever she sees that you're getting close to the bone and, pulling the meat away, then that's when they go for the jugular. And all these radio stations, they are just taking your time, taking the energy. It's a decoy. This is all a decoy.
Okay, Liz. Thank you, Liz. We've got to move on, but that's very important. We're glad that you do appreciate this program. If you want to see us have a bigger footprint, you give a good donation to FRC, Family Research Counselor, or NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, and we will get a bigger megaphone. Speak up and speak out for you. But look, folks, you can use Twitter. You can use Facebook. They're members of my family. And the number one news platform they use is Facebook. Do not underestimate your influence on Facebook. Pass these stories around. Go to FRC. Go to NRB. And we report on these stories. And you can pass them around to your family and your friends. We can beat the mainstream media here. We've got time for one quick call. We got Raymond from Oklahoma. Raymond, we've only got about 30 seconds. What's your view?
Okay. I remember Watergate. Remember when the media was quick to attack Nixon and then the government, and they were forced to resign? Hillary Clinton committed a worse crime, and yet let her get away with it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Raymond, for that call. I do think the more we look into these WikiLeaks email revelations, we're going to see pay for play. I'm looking at one quote here. Unless Sheikh Mo has sent us a $6 million check, this sounds crazy to do. Well, that's the kind of quote right there that might just get Hillary Clinton and her old State Department buddies in a lot of trouble. And in the next 2 or 3 weeks, there ought to be more light on this. This is Jerry Johnson. We'll be right back to talk about, is she a threat to religious liberty? And we'll be talking about this kind of a theme. Anti-Catholics for Hillary? Anti-evangelicals for Hillary? Anti-Christians for Hillary? What do I mean by that? I mean by that religious bigotry. When we come back in the next segment, we're going to hear from a civil rights commissioner, very concerned about a new definition of religious liberty, a new limitation of religious liberty, essentially saying that gay rights, Trump, religious liberty, First Amendment rights. I looked today at the museum, which has the First Amendment posted in stone. I'm really glad that's there. We're going to talk about it when we come back. You join us.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, a little bit of good news to end the week. Retail sales rose 0.5%, 0.5%. Now, some are saying how wonderful that is. Listen, it's good that it went up. This is somewhat good news in the sense that we look at September retail sales numbers, generally a little bit higher than normal. But the issue is we've got a long, long way to go. And we can't forget where the bar is. I had this conversation last week. The bar has been placed so low in every aspect of the economy that it doesn't take much for things to look good. The problem is we've got 7 years in some areas of makeup to take care of. In retail sales numbers, it's at least 4 years to make up. So we've got a long way to go. Producer price index went up 0.7%. That puts us at about 1.5% for producer prices increasing for the year. The downside again, Citigroup, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, as could be expected, all looking at lower profits and lower earnings for the quarter. This would be, of course, the third quarter of the year. Not good news. So anyway, I suspect that we're going to see some more of the smaller banks today reporting. Not likely to be good news either.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. Right? The racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it.
This is Jerry Johnson, president of National Religious Broadcasters, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. And that was Hillary Clinton last month at a swanky fundraiser. 2 days before she made these infamous remarks, the chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, Martin Castro, said this, and I quote, "The phrases religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance." Again, that's Martin Castro. He's a Chicago Democrat named to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights by President Obama in 2001. Well, joining me now to discuss this quote is Gail Heriot. She's a member of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. She dissented from the report that occasioned Castro's comments. She's a professor of law at the University of San Diego. Her expertise is in civil rights, employment law, product liability, remedies, and torts. Gail, thank you for joining us on Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Look, the context of these comments was a report called Peaceful Coexistence, and that seems kind of Orwellian to me in the name, but what is this report about? Why did you, you're a member of the same commission, you dissented in the vote. Tell me why.
You bet I did. Well, actually, the history of the report, the topic was actually suggested by Commissioner Peter Kersenow, who is a Republican appointee to the commission, and he had something very different in mind from what ultimately the commission produced. What he wanted was a report that would talk about all the different ways in which big government, and particularly anti-discrimination laws, and religious faith might come into conflict. And, you know, there are lots and lots of ways. Some of them are perfectly obvious. Like, we all know that Title VII doesn't allow discrimination on the basis of religion in employment.
Right.
But obviously, the Roman Catholic Church can say we only hire Roman Catholics to be priests. And the Baptist
right.
Church can do the same. They can hire only Baptists, and there are recognized exceptions. But there are lots and lots of issues that come up. And Commissioner Kirsten, I was hoping that these issues could be addressed in an adult, respectful way that would treat religious liberty seriously, the way it should be treated. But while the report was pending, there was a change in personnel on the commission. President Obama had a couple of more appointments, so the balance of power changed. And instead of getting a report that takes the issue seriously, we got what I think is a travesty.
What do you think they were wanting to achieve with this change?
Well, you know, it's not clear
to
me that they understand how difficult the issues are and how serious religious liberty must be taken. This is the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Religious liberty is part of the First Amendment. It's part of a number of laws passed by Congress. It's part of the nation's history, and it's important. And they don't treat it that way. The findings and recommendations in the report claim that anti-discrimination laws are preeminent in American law. And although they don't say it directly, by implication, religious liberty is not preeminent. And it's a lot more complicated than that. And we call religious liberty our first freedom for a reason. It's what brought many immigrants to this country, including the Pilgrims. They were seeking religious liberty. The notion that somehow is not preeminent, that anti-discrimination laws, particularly ones that cover issues that aren't even covered under the law today, like transgender status, that those are preeminent over religious liberty, is not taking the issue seriously.
Wow. Gail, I wish we had more time. Folks, we're listening to Gail Harriet. She is a member of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. We want to thank you for voting your conscience, for being a voice crying in the wilderness and speaking up and speaking out on Washington Watch. Maybe we can have you back another time, but we have to move on to another a break here. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And folks, actually, as we go into this next segment, I want to hear from you. The number is 866-372-7234. The question really is Hillary Clinton a threat to religious liberty? There was a major editorial today in the Washington Post saying she is a threat to religious liberty. And certainly when you look at this commission saying that sexual rights trump religious liberty rights, when you see this racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, essentially the commission saying you can't use religious liberty as a cover for those things. They trump religious liberty. What do you think of that? What's going on here? What's the agenda? The number is 866-372-7234. We're going to listen to some quotes from Hillary Clinton in this regard, and we're going to look at some WikiLeaks emails that are quite revealing. What does the Hillary Clinton team think about the Catholics and the evangelicals? We'll be right back. This is Washington Watch.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Every election is important, but this year's is critical. The very survival of our republic is at stake. This is Tony Perkins, and I want to urge you to be a part of securing America's future by selecting godly leaders. As Americans, we have the right to vote. As Christians, we have an obligation to vote, preferring leaders who will stand on biblical principles. If we want our nation to once again be a beacon of hope to the world, Christians must take time to vote. Christians vote, so plan now to vote your biblical value.
Consider serving the Lord with Friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
In 1776, the difference of one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1876, the difference of one vote made Rutherford Hayes president of the United States. In 1923, the difference of one vote gave Adolf Hitler leadership of the Nazi Party. Get the idea? One vote, yours, makes a huge difference. Vote.
This message brought to you by National Religious Broadcasters.
This is Jerry Johnson, president of National Religious Broadcasters, sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. And I want to say how much we appreciate Tony Perkins and Family Research Council, members of NRB. Tony is really a champion, speaking out, speaking up, being salt and light. It's an honor to be here today on the program. You just heard one of NRB's Christians Vote PSAs, public service announcements. And urge your radio stations to use these PSAs. They're available at christiansvote.com. They're free. You can use them any way you want. And remember to vote on November 8th. Now, in the last segment, we heard about Hillary's deplorables comment. We heard about this Commission on Civil Rights saying, essentially, that religious rights are trumped by all of these various sexual rights. I want you to listen now to Hillary Clinton in this audio. Listen carefully.
Yes, we've cut the maternal mortality rate in half, but far too many women are still denied critical access to reproductive health care and safe childbirth. All the laws we've passed don't count for much if they're not enforced. Rights have to exist in practice, not just on paper. Laws have to be backed up with resources and political will. And deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed.
All right, did you hear carefully there? That's Hillary Clinton at the Women in the World Conference. She says reproductive rights, trump religious beliefs, and religious beliefs have to be changed, have to be changed. The full quote is this: laws have to be backed up with resources and political will, and deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs, and structural biases have to be changed. Are you prepared for the government, for Hillary Clinton, to change your religious beliefs? Well, we're going to talk about that right now with you on the line. We've got callers. You can call at 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. We've got Walton on the line from Arizona. And Walton, what's your thought?
Yes, so thank you for taking my call, first of all.
From Arkansas, actually.
Yes, that's right, that's right. Well, I feel like this hits pretty close to home since the Clintons have been around for quite a while here, unfortunately. But I would say that anybody who thinks she's not a threat to religious liberty is frankly not paying attention. I mean, that quote you just played there, where religious convictions and thoughts need to be changed, I mean, at the hand of government, that's the thought police of 1984. It's pure, unfiltered tyranny. And there's really no bones about it.
Well, it's interesting. Let me interject, Walton, because you talk about 1984 and the Orwellian language. Did you catch reproductive rights? Now, that's funny to me because when they say reproductive rights, they're not talking about reproduction. It's actually anti-reproduction. They're talking about abortion. They're talking about infanticide. They're talking about birth control. It's the opposite, but they're calling it reproductive rights. They're using a positive phrase to talk about killing the unborn, killing the newborn. It's a fascinating turn of a phrase and meaning for me. Reproductive rights trump religious belief. Those religious beliefs will have to be changed. That's what Hillary Clinton says. Keep going, Walton. I cut you off.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, Margaret Sanger would be proud. You know, the leader, the founder of Planned Parenthood. She was best friends with Aleister Crowley. You know, by the way, which should be no surprise. But it just seems that.
Well, she was also a racist, and she was one of the first practitioners of eugenics. And she felt like actually that the poor and the minorities and the black population, you know, these were weeds that need to be pulled out. And to this day, Planned Parenthood clinics are located disproportionately in minority and poverty communities, and they do disproportionately a larger amount of abortions. Abortions of black babies. It's an awful, awful business that Planned Parenthood is in. We've got to move on, Walton. We've got other callers on the line. I want to switch over to Todd from Louisiana. Todd, thank you for calling. Todd, what's your view?
Thanks. I listen to Washington Watch every day with Tony Perkins, but he talks so fast I could never get the number. But thank you for slowing it down for me. but anyway, I want to talk to you about religious liberty. I think since I started reading scripture, I never really knew how wicked this world was. Now, I was a Democrat. That's when I was in the world. But you see, Republicans stand for, anti-abortion. Well, they're pro-life, and that's what I am. I'm pro-life. And I think we need to get back to the biblical views of this country. I mean, why is the mudslinging constantly going on with the two candidates? Let's stick to the issue.
Todd, I want to stop you. That's a great point. I just want to pick up on it because thank you for calling. You've talked about mudslinging and you've talked about parties. It was an excellent piece. If you haven't looked at Focus on the Family lately, let me recommend something there from them. Behind every candidate is a party. You talked about the Republican Party. This year, the Republican Party platform happens to be the most conservative, pro-life, pro-family platform they've ever had. The Democrat platform happens to be the most pro-death, anti-family platform they've ever had. So you talk about all this mudslinging and all the, about the candidates, but actually when we vote, we're voting also behind every candidate is a party and a party platform. It's a very important point. Thank you for bringing that up, Todd. We want to move on now to Shirley from Tennessee. Shirley, what are your thoughts?
Hi, real quick. One of my friends said that she and another friend went to go and check on their voting and make sure that they were registered. And she was found to be registered in the registry, but her friend, who had voted for years and years, was nowhere in there. So everybody needs to check and make doubly sure that you are registered to vote before the time runs out, because I'm afraid of this foreign voting and cheating so that Hillary wins because of the millions of people Obama wants to bring in here. I kind of wish Trump would take out, since he's letting all these foreigners in, take out in these people's newspapers, whoever has them, some Spanish newspapers, set of articles, and tell them what's really going on so when they come over here, they can push the button and against Hillary. But Hillary is a threat.
Thank you, Shirley. We've got to move on. Those are some good insights. And I would just say, folks, it is very important that you're registered to vote, that you know where to vote, when to vote. A lot of states have early voting. This is all so important for you to know how and when to vote. And there are a lot of great voter guides. I want to recommend one online right now. It's ivoterguide.com. That's just the letter I. voterguide.com, an excellent voting guide, not just for the national elections, the presidency, the Senate, the Congress, but also for your state elections, for your state house and so forth, attorney generals and governors. So ivoterguide.com, an excellent resource. Folks, this is Jerry Johnson sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, and we're really talking about the fact that the Hillary Clinton team seems to be positioned against people of faith. Part of the WikiLeaks revelation this week was an exchange from her team members about Rupert Murdoch. He is Catholic, had his children baptized, and these emails say, you know, how could he do this essentially? You know, they believe in, quote, severely backwards gender relations. That is the Catholic Church. And well, then they said, well, maybe they became Catholic because, quote, their rich friends wouldn't understand if they became evangelicals. So there's an old saying that personnel is policy. And when you elect a president, you elect a team of personnel. And we can see right here, this is, there's no other way to explain this except for religious bigotry. Anti-Catholic, anti-evangelical, we're backwards. You know, their rich friends won't understand if they join an evangelical church. What do you think about this? We've got Jerry on the line from Nebraska. Is Hillary Clinton a threat to religious liberty? What do you think, Jerry?
Okay, I'm going to let God do the speaking through me. Go back to Romans. What does Romans say? Obey the law of the land, and it'll be well with you. Okay, well, she didn't obey the law of the land. So she needs to be, I am with my friend Donald Trump, and I said my friend Donald Trump, I know him. She needs to be put away. If we did that, we'd be put away. So everybody go to Romans and read where it talks about obeying the law of the land, and by all means, get out there and vote. If you don't want to even make yourself vote.
Thank you, Jerry. That's right again. Everybody needs to get out and vote. Let's go on to Henry from Ohio. Henry, do you think Hillary is a threat to religious liberty?
Well, somebody in the last segment mentioned that the radio show sounds a little bit like an echo chamber. And if you're willing, I'd like to give an opposing viewpoint.
Quickly, yes.
Okay, so I would not consider myself an avid Hillary supporter nor an avid Trump supporter, but I think that it seems a little surprising, to say nothing less, that you guys seem to be championing Trump a little bit while accusing the Clinton campaign of infringing on religious liberties. when Trump has been the one in this campaign to outwardly recommend that we register an entire religion and its followers when they try to enter the United States, or even for Muslim people who have been in this country for generations living peacefully. To that end, I'm not going to deny or negate the quote that you had on from Hillary Clinton saying that certain civil rights may, in her opinion, trump religious rights. But I think what she's really trying to say there is not that religious rights in any form can be trumped by civil liberties, but it's just when it comes down to religious rights in the place or getting in the way of one's pursuit of happiness, which I do believe comes before religious liberties in our nation's finest documents.
Okay, thank you, Henry. We'll unpack that for a second. I appreciate your call, and we are not an echo chamber. That's why we let you say what you had to say. First thing about this show, this program being an echo chamber, the whole premise of our first segment was the mainstream media is covering for Hillary's sins. And the role for a program like this is to provide balance. We are the other side. We are the balance. We actually had a caller say, "Oh, you're not even getting your message out. You need a bigger megaphone." The fact is that the mainstream media really has the levers. They have the networks. They have the New York Times. They have the Washington Post. And this kind of a program really is the balance. It's the other side. So that's why we represent a certain position. At least we're honest about it. The mainstream media is not honest about it. But I thought it was very interesting that you went on to talk about religious liberty and the limitations. And it seems to me like you're doubling down really on the Hillary position. I just want to remind you, sexual rights are not in the Constitution. They're not even mentioned. Erotic rights are not in the Constitution, not even mentioned. This is a new emphasis. Whereas the First Amendment of the Constitution says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So religious rights, religious liberty, those rights are spelled out in black and white in the U.S. Constitution. And what you're saying is these new rights actually trump the enumerated written rights. How can that be? Well, I just don't agree with you. And I think, and incidentally, about Mr. Trump, I certainly wouldn't offend him on all points, but he's developed that policy, which is now extreme vetting. And that is, folks who come over here from countries that have an ISIS or Islamic terrorist kind of a component, he's saying, look, we need to do extreme vetting. We need to know who these people are. We need to know if they're committed to the First Amendment. We need to know if they're for the American way, the American Constitution, or do they want Sharia law? Well, this is Jerry Johnson sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch. Vote. Vote your conscience. Vote your values. We'll talk to you next time.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.